Welcome back to the Victory Podcast. I'm Steve McGrath, and this week I'm pleased to bring you our conversation with the 1999 number 3 overall pick, Akili Smith. Now, Akili's career in the NFL did not go as planned, and thankfully over the course of time, he's been able to sort of reflect on that, and he can talk openly about things that he did wrong and how things went, and we're very fortunate to have been able to have the conversation with him. So he actually talks about his career, which really started with him almost going pro in baseball, getting drafted out of high school. And after 2 years of doing that, did he go to the JUCO route, then go to the University of Oregon, where he was co-offensive player of the year, then to get to the NFL. And now he spends his time working, coaching kids in football, and really trying to help the next generation of quarterbacks. So Akili was kind enough to take the time, talk through all this with us. And before I get to that, you know, I'm going to remind you all that we are brought to you by Team Builder. And if you didn't know, they work with over 500 high school football programs nationwide, including the NFL. So if you care at all about improving efficiency in your weight room, go check out their website, use the promo code VICTORY, and you're going to get a free gift. So go there, show them some love. But until then, here's our conversation with Akili. One of the first things I wanted to ask you is, because this is still up in the air, just breaking news, is, you know, California agreeing that student athletes will be able to make money off of their likeness. I know you live out in California. You know, how much of a game changer is this going to be? And, like, do you think that the NCAA is kind of coming to a point now where they're going to, I don't know if dissolve is the right word, but, you know, Florida proposed a similar bill? Like, what are you making of the whole landscape?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm waiting to see what NCAA does, because the last thing that I saw from them was they weren't going to allow any California schools to participate in any bowl games or postseason play. If that is the case, then California, Florida, and other states, they may have to create some type of postseason bowl games, if you will, for those people who are allowing student athletes to use their likeness.
Sure.
You know, so yeah. So right now I can't wait to see how the NCAA responds.
It feels like one of those things where someone has to blink first. Is it going to be California or will it be the NCAA? But if Texas decides to join, you're going to have three of maybe the top three states in the entire landscape. And that's sort of enough weight that, something's got to give. I think that the NCAA could have got ahead of this a long time ago, but by being stubborn, here we are.
Right. And at the end of the day, you know, I can kind of see where the NCAA is coming from as far as what do we pay the kids. Obviously, it's got to be a sliding scale. You know, you can't ask the NAIA schools to get the same as the SEC and the Pac-12 schools, but there's got to be some type of pay structure for these young men, because we all know that the NCAA is making billions of dollars.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And Akili, how do you think this impacts the recruiting game now? Because if I'm a kid and, you know, I come from a low income family, I would without a doubt go to a California school, start making money now. How do you think it affects other states to get top players to come to their schools?
If you're in California, there's no reason to leave.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep. No reason to leave. I just posted it the other day in another coaching group that I'm in. San Diego State is supposed to be finishing up in a stadium here like in the next 3 or 4 years right on campus. And San Diego has a bunch of talent. Now, you build that stadium to go along with this new California law, I mean, you can start to build San Diego State. You can rebuild SC. You can rebuild UCLA. And now we're keeping all of our California talent home, although I am an Oregon Duck. But at least the kids are now, you know, getting an opportunity to make some money.
Yeah, you're going to make Uncle Phil up there really have to up his game if he's going to get kids to leave and go to the shoe factory up there.
I know, that's right. Hey, and Uncle Phil, he knows the right people up there to get
I bet he does.
As well.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting because I believe it was Mike Leach was talking about it. You know, he's up at Washington State just talking about how it will jumble up the recruiting just a little bit too, because, you know, to your point, like if you have a kid that could go to Washington State or could stay home and go to UCLA, like, why would you leave the state of California to go to another school?
Exactly. And that's going to, you know, that's going to be like the final straw for a lot of kids. But then again, we got to see exactly what the guidelines are. How much money can the kids make? Is it just the shoe companies? We got to see exactly what it is. So we're still a little bit ways away to figuring this thing out.
Yeah. In the infant stages, sure. Yeah.
You know, one thing that I've seen again on your social media is something that I think is 100% spot on. And you just put it up with Russell Wilson tearing it up last night. And that is, stars do not matter.
Yeah.
Do you remember, well, did you have any sort of stars? Of course, you were a baseball player early on, but I mean, did you have any stars coming out of high school? How did this thing get so out of hand to the point where, you know, they're missing on guys and guys that are also getting completely overrated? It feels like it's just sort of people are paying for stars.
Well, you know, back then we didn't have this star system. You know, they had Cal High and they had Parade All-American, which was back then the number one All-American site, and they just had me ranked number three out of high school without even having an opportunity to compete. But with all the new companies out there who are ranking kids and the money that's being accumulated from youth all the way up through college, it seems like everybody wants to try to start a ranking system. But the problem is the people that are giving out the stars and creating this ranking system, a lot of them have never played football before. So I was in talks with the likes of, you know, Willie Anderson, who should be in the Hall of Fame, and Lorenzo Neal and some of the guys. And we basically said we need to create a ranking system where we have former players in all of these regions hosting camps, and now we're giving out some of the stars and things of that nature.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, it feels the system that they have right now just is not doing anyone any justice. It's just sort of, and even, you know, just having talked to people that work for different schools, the way that kids are getting recruited, they're like, oh, wait, you know, Florida State just offered them. Like, we got to send them an offer. You know, even how schools are doing it, let alone that the guys that are doing the rankings, is there's no perfect method at all that I've seen.
Exactly. And that's what it is. Like, we got a kid right now in San Diego named Trevor Appleman. 6'5", 6'6", got 19 touchdowns, no interceptions, but we're trying to get him his first offer because they all follow suit. Once one offers, the next thing you know, 15 or 20 schools offer because Cal offered. Well, if Cal offers, then Stanford's got to offer. Well, then here comes Oregon State. They must have good grades because Cal and Stanford offered them. So now Oregon State offers. And then after that, everybody is offering. You're right. A lot of times those programs are not even given a true evaluation. They're just basing it off of someone else giving them an offer.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned the young man that I'm assuming that, I don't know if maybe you coach or work with, but I did want to ask, because again, I know that you are, you know, football is your life. What is it that you're doing now? It seems like you are coaching in some aspect.
Yeah, I'm coaching my son's 12U team. He just turned 13 a couple of days ago. I coach at Linfield Christian High School. I'm coaching quarterbacks all throughout the county in San Diego and in IE. I've got a quarterback at Virginia Tech. There's one at USC. Got one at Georgia Tech. Got one at Seton Hill, Colorado. So pretty much I'm still actively around the game. One thing that I'm not very good at is the marketing component. So I got to pick that up a little bit as far as, you know, putting my guys out there and exactly what I'm doing. But yeah, I've been around this game for too long and I just can't get away from it.
Yeah. Once it has its claws in you, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And hopefully in a few years, all those guys that you mentioned, instead of them being at Virginia Tech and spread all across the land, they're going to be staying in California.
Yeah. And then, you know what, I got to talk to some of the guys and see what they're thinking. But I do know for a fact with the people that I know, especially growing up in Lincoln High School, which is the inner city, Southeast San Diego, and, you know, some of the Moores kids that are over there in Southeast San Diego who aren't as well off as, you know, some of the other people out here in North America. There's no doubt in my mind that some of those kids are going to start to stay home.
Definitely. Well, Achille, what I'd love to do is just sort of, you know, walk this back, because as I mentioned, of course, you did play baseball coming out of high school. You know, you were selected in the 1993 draft, and you know, you did that for a couple years before going to JUCO and, of course, then Oregon. Can you just walk us back when you were, you know, a young 16, 17, 18 year old, you know, how did you get on this path where, you know, you ended up playing baseball, but switched to football? Just what was your thought process around sports and what you wanted to do with your future?
Well, the biggest thing was, excuse me, my dad got drafted by the California Angels back in the day. So baseball was really his dream. So he was trying to live his dream through me. And that's what, you know, most dads do. But he ended up making a mistake and went to the penitentiary and spent 3.5 years locked up. So, you know, once he got out, he just started to push me in baseball. But ultimately, my heart was in football. So the whole time I was playing for the Pittsburgh Pirates, all I could think about was football. And I finally got released by Pittsburgh. The San Diego Padres wanted to sign me. I said, no, I'm going to pursue my dreams. And then that's when I went back to Grossmont Junior College, Oregon, and ended up being drafted into the NFL.
Wow. Got it. So how did the road actually get to Oregon, though? Was that something that did you always have aspirations for going there? Just what was that whole recruiting process like for you?
Well, when I got drafted out of high school, I ended up signing with San Diego State. So back in 1993, I signed with San Diego State. I was going to stay home, but then I ended up going to play baseball. So when I got back, Coach Bellotti and Coach Peterson did a good job of recruiting me. And at that time, Oregon, during the Pac-10 days, Oregon had the most wins in the Pac-10. It was startling to see those numbers. And I went out there. I took my visit. Coach Pete, who's now the head coach at UW, done a great job. Bellotti is just incredible. And Dirk Cutter was the offensive coordinator. All those guys did a good job of recruiting me. I felt at home when I went out there on my college trip. And I decided to be a Duck.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible too, just being able to just end the baseball career and start the football career. Can you talk mentally a little bit about, like, what was the, do you have like a final straw moment where you were just like, one day you woke up, or maybe it was a late night, you were like, all right, I have to follow this football thing and essentially stop the baseball career?
Yeah, we had just got off a road trip with the Pirates, and actually I was playing pretty good. My batting average was going up, and I threw a guy out at home plate, and Skipper called me into the office and basically said, hey, we're going to release you and go in a different direction. And he'll tell you to this day, I actually had a smile on my face. And when I went back to the what's the name, I started packing my clothes and I said, Dad, I just got released. He's like, no way. I was like, yeah, I'm on the way home. And when I got home, I couldn't throw a football for nothing. So the first couple years, the first year or so, it took me some time to get back to throwing a football. But after that, you know, skies was the limit.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Yeah.
Now, I just wanted to, you know, so you played two years at Oregon. You know, you're in your senior year, of course, is what it is. You absolutely tear it up, offensive player of the year in the conference. What, you know, for you to go to baseball and then JUCO and then you get into being, you know, in the Pac-10, how did you elevate your game, right? Because you go from baseball and then the level of competition and then your play is going up with that. You know, how did you, you know, do you have any just sort of tips or, you know, any words of wisdom on how you work through that process to continue to get yourself better to the point of working into being the number 3 overall pick in the draft?
It was hard work, you know, and I brought this up when I was coaching at Cal with, you know, Andy Ludwig and Tepper at that time. Like, sometimes you got to stay after practice and throw routes. So say I missed a slant route to the left and I missed a dig to the right, or, you know, I missed a go route to the left. Well, I would stay after practice and throw at least 5 of those routes after practice. 5 slants to the right, 5 slants to the left, 5 digs to the right, and then 5 go routes to the left. You have to stay after practice and get that work in. Even to a point where if the strength coach says, okay, we got 12 squats, well, sometimes you got to do 14 or 15 squats just to feel like you got the upper hand on your opponent. And that's what I did. And it was more of the mental preparation for me, just understanding and knowing that I absolutely outworked my opponent, and it paid off for me.
Right.
Now, is there, Achilles, is there one coach, so to say? I know you just named off a few of them, but there's one coach in particular that really stood out to help you grow, you know, as Steve mentioned, into that quarterback that you ultimately became.
Yeah, it was just Jeff Tedford. I mean, I got myself in some trouble my junior year, just hanging out and partying, being a college kid out there in, at Oregon. And then when Tepper came in, he sat me down. He said, you know, Keely, I heard this, I heard that. And I got myself in some trouble. We used to have 6:30s in the morning where you got to run 12 100s in the morning at 6:30 in the morning. And a lot of guys didn't like it. But what Tepper did was, instead of me running those 12 100s, we worked on drops. And he cleaned up my feet. He started to minister to me and just talk to me about life and him coaching Trent and some of the other first rounders that he had worked with. And I mean, to this day, Jeff Tepper changed my life. And that's why I have some things on Instagram called Tepper Files and things of that nature, because of what he was able to do with me.
Mm, very cool.
Yeah, that is really cool.
Yeah. Shout out to Coach. You know, I did want to talk just a little bit about the Bengals days. You know, early on, you know, it's Bruce Coslett and, you know, Ken Anderson as coordinator. But, you know, year two, it changes a little bit with Dick LeBeau taking over and Brakowski at OC. Do you think how much of learning the playbook and, again, trying to break your level of play into that next tier, how much of that, you know, is mentally different than what you had to do previously? Is it, was the playbook so different, or you know, can you just sort of unpack in any way what that learning curve was like, just getting the X's and O's in scheme part down in the NFL?
Yeah, it was completely different as far as the drops were concerned. Tepper was more of an upright guy, keep the ball on the shelf. Ken Anderson was a lean back, swing the ball as you're dropping and then lean forward to put the brakes on. I went from, you know, reading the defense to going from a half field read to getting to Cincinnati, which is more of a progression where it was look at one, look at two, look at three, look at four. But at Oregon, once you split the field down in half, you didn't have to do it that way. So it was a completely different learning curve under Kenny Anderson. And then when Brad Brakowski came in, it was more of what I was used to doing. And that's when I was able to have some success in the preseason. But at that time, they had already brought in John Kitna. I got myself in some trouble in the offseason, and my career was pretty much over in Cincinnati.
Yeah, so I mean, with all due respect, do you look at that time and feel any sort of way about you wishing that anything had been done different or handled different? Is there, you know, just how, when you look back at it, you know, I'm sure it's a mixed bag of emotions, but, you know, today, how does it really impact you?
Well, today I'm doing a lot better because I can openly talk about, you know, these things now on Instagram and talk about these things with the kids that I'm coaching. But at that time, it didn't matter. I mean, Tim Couch was one, McNabb was two, I was three. What if Akili Smith goes three to the Eagles and what if Akili Smith goes two to the Eagles and McNabb goes three? Or, you know, McNabb goes one to the Browns and Couch goes three. I mean, you know, that's essentially what ended up happening. And McNabb was able to prosper off of that pick going to the Eagles and Andy Reid. And we all know how well of a coach he is by what he's doing with Mahomes, but it was by chance. And by chance, you know, Couch went one, McNabb went two, and I went three to the Eagles. And I think we all know that back in the day, to the Bengals, we all know back in the day that the Bengals weren't doing things correctly. And it wasn't until Marvin Lewis came in there and he finally got the Brown family to start doing things correctly. Carson Palmer came in there and had some pretty good years before he left. And now they're in a situation where they're 0-4 right now and they got to get back on track.
Right. And believe me, from paying attention to what you're doing on social media, I see the pictures you put up where, you know, it's you're on one side and, you know, I think it was John Kitna was on the other. And the way that you very openly sort of critique what you're doing in the picture and, you know, saying this is what not to do, proves that you've absolutely are, you know, willing to kind of take a very honest look at how that went and sort of use it as a teaching point, which I think is so empowering to anyone that's ever made a mistake, and particularly young kids, to show them, hey, don't do this. Learn from me. This is what I need you to do if you want to have, you know, a true level of success.
that's it. And that's what it's all about. And really just entering into my calling and trying to help some of the guys that I'm coaching in college, some of the guys that are in the pros. I got some skill position guys that I've helped out that's in the pros, some of the youth guys, some of the high school guys, and them basically paying attention to what I'm saying and hopefully one, applying it and listening. You know, because right now in this day and age with social media, there's so many different opinions on social media. It'll boil down to who they decide to listen to.
Yeah. And as you just said, learning and, you know, seeing is one thing, but applying is a totally different beast. And, you know, getting the application of it is that's where the magic happens.
Exactly.
I just have one last question here. You know, sorry, Steve, I didn't mean to cut you off there. When you talk about half field reads and progression reads, what do you think is easier for a quarterback that you teach? If you had to do your own system and you're teaching a quarterback from the ground up, you know, what system are you implementing, at least mentally, to get the quarterback on track to make the simplest throw possible?
It's half field all day.
Yeah.
And we have something that we call IOB, and that's inside, outside, back. So if it's cover three, the number two receiver is running the seam, the number one receiver is running the dig, and the running back is running the swing. So it's IOB. And then sometimes you run smash, you read the corner. That's outside, inside. You know, you keep it very simple for these guys, because as you get higher into college and into the pros, they're smart enough to take away that half field read. And now you got to flip your hips, flip your brain, and get all the way back to the backside where there's potentially a deep dig or a deep comeback or something on the backside in the NFL.
Yeah. Interesting.
Well, before we get into this, before we close this out, Akili, with this thing called the gauntlet, I just wanted to squeeze in, what are your thoughts on Oregon football, what they've been able to do? They got Cal coming up this week, but it definitely seems like a big test is going to be around the corner with Washington. Are we looking at a team that's going to be playing for the championship at the end of the year?
I love what Cristobal is doing. I love the physicality of what we're doing. Obviously Arroyo's got some stuff that he's still working on the offensive side of things, from last year to this year. I'm hearing that the receivers are making a lot of mistakes and dropping balls, but for the most part, we have all the pieces that's necessary to go on a nice run. So now it boils down to us being able to execute on both sides of the ball. And the other thing that we got going on is we have a veteran secondary that's all from California. You know, with Thomas Graham and Pickett and those guys who all they've done all their career out here in California is played 7-on-7. So now that they're older, we're able to cover down and get some pressure on the quarterback. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how those things work out for the rest of the season.
But are they going to be one of the final four teams?
I sure hope so. You know, we've already got a loss. Oklahoma just looks phenomenal. I don't know who's going to beat them. And then you got Ohio State. I'm going to tell you who's my shocker right now. I'm shocked at the way Clemson is playing. Yeah. They do not look good at all. Yep. I mean, they look like somebody like a Florida State might creep up and beat them. You know, so they better get it together. If not, they won't even reach the Final Four, which then puts Alabama in there. You still got LSU. Who else is in the SEC playing good ball? I'm missing somebody.
What? I mean,
Auburn. Yeah.
Auburn and Florida, they're going to square off this weekend.
There you go. Auburn and Florida is going to square off. So it's going to be interesting. I'm a little bit nervous because we already have one loss, and there may be four teams that can make it without any losses at all.
Yeah. Oh, that's why we love college football, right? There's so many teams. Everyone has a shot. And I'm sure just like you, I cannot wait to see how it all plays out.
Exactly.
All right. Well, Akili, I want to get you out here on this one last bit. It's called the gauntlet. It's just a couple of quick hitter questions that I have for you. I need to know, what do you think is most important in winning? Is it having the number one offense or number one defense?
Number one offense.
Now, do you have a favorite football memory?
My favorite football memory is probably the USC game. I mean, playing that game was just, it was so tough. One of the top defenses, Claiborne was on that defense, Rashard Cook. And then I went on a 61-yard run to beat those guys. And it was just, it was tough. Everything was tough. They had everybody covered. I forced some balls in there that was able to get completed, and we were able to edge out the Trojans at the University of Oregon.
Very cool. Now, do you have one player or one coach that you wish you would have had the chance to play with?
Yes, Belichick. No question at all. Belichick, you know, this, what he's been able to do with Brady and that organization, just to kick tail year in, year out, is just a testament as to what type of environment that he likes to run and what he's able to do year in and year out.
All right. Very cool. What's most important? Is it the players or is it the scheme?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
There's no wrong
answer. You know
what?
With the way that I'm doing things now, the scheme is very important, because I know a lot of teams, and I ain't going to say no names, they got a ton of talent, but they just cannot get it done. So I'll say scheme.
All right. And last one, and I think it's most important. If you were to give one piece of advice, what is the best piece of advice that you would give to a young student athlete today?
Well, the biggest thing is always education first. Make sure that you're able to qualify for whatever you're trying to qualify for, SAT, ACT, clearinghouse, things of that nature. And then after that, it's just a matter of discipline. You have to be disciplined every single day. I started another hashtag that I'm going to try to build up. It's called quarterbacking as a lifestyle. You got to live the lifestyle every single day. You got to be a leader. Every single day, you can't make mistakes. Every single day, you got to be on time. And that's what it's all about, discipline and living a lifestyle.
Accountability, too. That's what I heard,
yep,
right there.
Accountability. Yep, accountability, too. No question.
Awesome. Well, Akili, thank you so much for taking the time.
Yes, thank you.
And Coach, we wish you the very best this year with your son and your high school. And hopefully we'll see Oregon on top when it's all said and done.
Okay. All right, guys. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Appreciate it.
All right. Bye.